This morning, I would encourage you to take the little green cards that you will find in the seat back in front of you, and I'd like to share with you our verse for the month. We have, for the last two or three years now, been doing a verse every month, and many of you have been good to memorize those, and those who are not able maybe to completely memorize them, to have them around, at least so that they can be reminded of the importance of them. We've downsized them just a little bit, and the whole idea is that it'll be easier for you to put in your pocket or have available beside you. But thematically, you know that what we're trying to do between the month of June and next June is that we want to be people who lovingly proclaim Jesus to everyone. That's our goal. That's our congregational goal. But I would like to add to that this idea that we would, as a church, work more and more and more upon having an eternal perspective. That each day and everything that we do, that we don't get stuck with the mundane, that we wake up and we say, everything I'm doing today, whether it be washing the dishes or taking kids to school or dealing with any of the issues that I have, I'm going to do it from an eternal perspective. I'm going to make sure that who I am and what I am doing is bringing honor and glory to Christ Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that over and over and over. And this particular verse, set of verses, I think will set us on a course for not only today's message and next week's message, but also on a course as we begin this new year. And basically, I just want to just talk about it for just a moment. It says, in your New American Standard, it says, if therefore you have been raised up, and the if therefore really speaks of a word that we would call since, and it means basically we have been, so get busy. And it says, since you've been raised up with Christ, what we need to do is keep on, and the idea there is to continually, day by day, progress in the area. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at God's right hand. And on a day-by-day basis, we are to keep on setting our mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. That's hard work, isn't it? We're in the midst of our day, and before you know it, we've gone through an entire day, and we haven't really even thought of setting our minds on things above. It's been stuck in the mundane and in the world system. And so I think that this is a very, very valuable set of verses for our starting this new year. So let's say it together once, if we could. Then I would ask that you would take it home with you and that you would begin to think and work your way through this as we go through this week. Let's start with the text and let's work our way through it. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on this earth. And again, it's found in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. I've chosen these two verses because as we move into this new year and we move back into 1 Corinthians, I want to remind us of the importance of having that kind of a mindset in absolutely everything that we do. How amazing it is for us to have a perspective that is eternal in scope. And this is a great time of year for us to think about it, because if you're like many of us, you start this first year with a series of some sort of a resolution, maybe something that starts off with resolved to, and then you fill in the blanks. And I went back in my files this week, and I've shared this with you before, but I just thought it was so funny that I thought I just should share it again. There's the husband sitting with a wife at the breakfast table, and he says, "Dear, my New Year's resolution is to stop telling you what to do all the time. So here, I've wrote down your resolutions for you." And that really is not what we're after. Not what we're looking for is to resolve to help someone be resolved to resolve. The idea here is for us to be people who began to think afresh as we begin in this brand new, fresh year about what it is that God has called us to be and what we have resolved to do and be to follow after him. I know some people are not great resolution people, and I understand why. Is because in large part, many times our resolutions fail. We get just a little bit down the road, and we ended up becoming more disgusted with ourselves than we were before we were disgusted with ourselves. But I've always found in my personal life that it has great value for me to sit down and say, what do I want to accomplish for this year? And really think about and ask myself the questions, what am I going to do about the year that is before me? I found them helpful very much in my personal life. I find them very, very helpful in my married life to actually sit down and say, what do we want to work on as a couple? What do we want to work on together that at the end of this year we'll do better together? What do we want to work on in terms of our intellect? What do we want to read? What do we want to think our way through? What do we, as a family, want to be doing better at the end of this year than we are at the beginning of this year? And I don't think it hurts at all for us to do it spiritually. I think actually that may be the most powerful place to do it, for us to ask questions about what do I want to be spiritually at the end of this year that I'm not today, and how am I seeking to move in that direction? Might be something as saying, as Dick was sharing, and he's got 51 Bibles, that each year he's gone through another Bible and and learned how to make that word a part of his life. It might be just that you say, okay, I'm going to get serious about these memory verses that we've been sharing, and I'm going to put them somewhere of value. I'm going to put it at the workplace desk, or I'm going to have it on the kitchen refrigerator. I'm going to think through these things. I'm going to make sure that these verses become an integral part of who my life is. Maybe this is the year that you get through Scripture for the very, very first time. And you say, this is the year that I'm starting, and I'm going to go through this memorization program. And we did put this little copy in here for you today, and take it home with you. This is the one-year Bible online. This is what I use. This is what many here use. And basically, you just call it up every single day, and it'll take you to the next text that you're working on. You can do it in a variety of languages. I do it every year in a different translation. And the idea there is that it forces me back to say, does it really say that? And it's a valuable thing just to start your day or finish your day. I would encourage you to do that, that maybe it might be a time for you to be resolved to do that very type of a thing. Maybe it's just a time for you to start saying, I need to get on this in terms of sharing the gospel with people. I need to make sure that I have clarity in terms of what the gospel means and how I can share it with people. And I'm going to begin boldly praying for 5 opportunities a month, or 2 opportunities a month, or 1 opportunity a week, or whatever it might be, but to resolve to be a person who is not only praying for and looking for those opportunities, but is open to them when they occur in your life. But this morning, I want, whatever your list is, and maybe you don't have a list, and maybe your list will be short because it will only have this one item on it, but whatever your list is, I want to encourage us all as a congregation to make sure at least one thing is on our list of things that we are resolved to be and resolved to do, and that is that every day that we will live life with an eternal perspective. And that's a really hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do because the world has us hemmed in. It has us in many respects, unfortunately, conformed to its image. We build much of what we are around its schedule, in terms, instead of what God says we ought to be. Instead, I need us to start thinking about breaking out of that and instead opening up our day and moving through our day with a perspective that simply says life is short, eternity is long, God has placed me here at this season for a specific purpose, for His specific glory. Now I need to figure out how to make that a reality as I go through this day, and as I go through this week, this month, and this year. What a difference it would make is if, as one, we were people who were saying, today is a day that I'm going to live life in such a way that it has a perspective that looks beyond the mundane of today and on to the far reaches of eternity. And so to help us do that, Over the next 2 weeks, what I would like to do is I would like to look at just a small, beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in there, I would like to answer just a couple of questions. And the two questions that I would like to answer, the one we will do this week in the short time that we have left, we will ask ourselves, why? Why should we live a life of eternal perspective? And then next week, Lord willing, we will look at the second. How can we live life with an eternal perspective? And then this small little snippet here that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 through 31, Paul shares with us why we should live with an eternal perspective and how we can live life with an eternal perspective. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's read God's word together. Let's introduce this passage. And then let's all go home and put a cover over our heads. No, that's just me. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 29 through 31. Are we all there? But this I say, brothers, the time has been shortened so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none. It's going to take some explaining, isn't it? And those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. And those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For the form of this world is passing away. Father, for the brief time that we have remaining, we ask that you would just take these words and that you would use them for your glory. That we would leave from here with a very clear understanding of the necessity of we who are in Christ as new creations to be people who view life from a newly created status. And so we ask that you just make that clear as we look at just these two little concepts this morning and then flesh it out more fully in the week that follows. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and your son is my strong redeemer. It is in the precious name of Jesus we ask these things. And God's people said, amen. I would like just this morning to just work through this idea of why should we live a life from an eternal perspective. We've been in 1 Corinthians for a lengthy time. We've taken some time off from time to time to do various and sundry things. But I want us to get a sense this morning of just how important this eternal perspective is. So I want you to just turn very quickly back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to take you through just all the ways that Paul has been trying to help the people of Corinth get a clear perspective of what it is he means when he wants them to have an eternal perspective. The reason I love Corinthians so much is because it's so much like our culture today. 2,000 years has come and gone, and nothing has changed. It is still the same. It's time-bound people struggling to be godly in a really godless environment, trying to figure out what it is that God would have them to be and do, finding that so often they think in a fleshly way instead of a spirit-filled way, and constantly struggling with the concept of looking beyond the day-to-day struggles and looking towards the eternal that God has for him. And in each and every one of these chapters, Paul points them towards the eternal. He points them towards having an eternal perspective. He begins in chapter 1 and verse 7 when he says that you are not lacking in any gift and you are awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You get the sense here that what he's talking about is you're living on a day-by-day basis, and I'm exhorting you to be people who are encouraged and excited about the fact that Jesus is coming soon, and I want you to live with that in your mind. So he starts off the first chapter with the idea of be people who are awaiting the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. See the eternal perspective? In chapter 2, verse 8, he goes on and he shares with them the very important issue of the wisdom that he has given to them is not a worldly wisdom. Remember, they're in Corinth, which is the basis for all thought and the processes of philosophies of the world. He says, you need to understand that the wisdom that I shared with you is not a wisdom of this world. It is indeed, he says, it's a wisdom that is from above. We speak God's wisdom, he says in verse 7. In a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages of our glory, the wisdom which none of this rulers of this world could understand. And if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to them, get an eternal perspective about what is wise and what is not wise. In chapter 3 and verse 13, he talks about the same idea. He says, you need to live as if the future matters, because a day is coming where you will stand before the God of all eternity and you will give an account for how you have spent this little tiny bit of time that God has entrusted into your care. And he says, if any man, verse 12, builds on the foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, or with wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day, that future day, will show it, because it will be revealed by fire. So he says, have an eternal perspective about everything that you're doing, everything that you choose to make an important aspect of your life, because one day you're going to stand before the God of all eternity, who knows all things well, and he will judge based on what you have done, whether it's worth reward or whether it's worth being burned. Have an eternal perspective, he is saying to them. Chapter 4, verse 5. He says, don't worry about passing judgment in this time. He says, this time is just this little tiny period. But instead, he says, wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motive of men's heart. Then each man's praise will come to him from the Lord. He says, don't get so upset about what's happening in time. And when people say horrible things about you or don't have clarity with respect to your motives, remember, a time is coming where all that will be sorted out, where God, who alone knows all things and knows our hearts better than we know our hearts ourselves, he says he will declare the appropriate motives of man's heart. All he's saying is, have an eternal perspective. So don't get so stuck here in time. Have an eternal perspective. Verse 5 of chapter 5. This whole idea here is this man who in their presence who was sinning. And he says, we need to do something about that. Not just because of today. We need to do that because a time is coming. So he says, I've decided to deliver such an one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Why? So that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You see the eternal perspective? He says, we're interested in helping this person sort out this sin issue and going as far as we need to go to make sure that takes care of it, gets taken care of, because eternally speaking, it makes a huge difference. We need to have him in a situation for when the day of the Lord occurs, he will indeed be saved. See what Paul is doing with the Corinthians over and over, each chapter over and over? Don't have a perspective that is just bound in time. Do everything that you do based on an eternity that is to follow. He follows that up in chapter 6 and verses 2 and verses 9. He says, the day is coming, saints, when you will judge the world. If the world is judged by you, aren't you competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Don't you know you will judge angels? I don't know how that works. I'm excited to find out. I'm looking forward to the black judge outfit. That's going to be fun. I don't know what that looks like. But what is he doing? He's saying, get out of this little spat that you have. Get out of this time-bound struggle that you're having with each other. Don't you know, on an eternal perspective, you are made for much bigger than that? Don't you realize that the time is coming where you will judge angels? Verse 9, he says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you see what he's doing? Over and over and over, he's saying, move past this little time-space portion that you have and think big, think eternal. Have a perspective that says, am I doing the things today that will make a difference in eternity? That's his whole theme, and that's his whole solution to everything that they are dealing with. Now, just for a few moments, in chapter 7, it shouldn't surprise us. In chapter 7, he's dealing with this issue of singleness and celibacy and marriage and remarriage and divorce and should virgins marry, and should people remarry? And they have lots and lots of questions. And why should it surprise us at all that what Paul does is he answers the questions, but he answers them moving towards an eternal perspective. He says, don't just think about it in time. Just don't think about in this space that we're in. Instead, he says, think about it in terms of a long-term view of eternally looking at what God has for you. And that's what 29 and 31, which, by the way, is the core of chapter 7. We will look at that in much more depth next week. He begins in verse 29 by helping them to understand just how brief the time is, and at the end, how silly it is to put fascination on the world that is passing away before them. So in answer to this question, why should we live life from an eternal perspective, he's going to give them two answers at the beginning of verse 29 and one answer at the beginning of 29 and one answer at the end of verse 31. Let's look at them just in order. He says, the time has been shortened. The time has been shortened. The idea here specifically refers to something that has been compressed or placed into an element of, you know the beginning and you know the end. Here's the thing. When Jesus came into history and he went to the cross, it began a time continuum we call the church age. And he says, what Jesus Christ did is he helps you to understand that there is a beginning and there is a very specific end when he will come for us. In the meantime, he says, the compression of that time simply means that we know that there is a certain amount of time. We don't know exactly how much it is yet, but we do know that it's compressed. It's not going to go on forever. And as such, you ought to be working hard in the midst of it. Two elements for that. I think the first element is individual, when James tells us that life is a vapor and that we don't know if we have tomorrow for us. And as we will see next week in Luke chapter 12 with a man who saved all his riches up and says, I've got it made. I'm going to spend the rest of my life just hanging out and checking my stock portfolio. And God says to him, don't you know you're so foolish that your soul is something that's going to be taken this very night? So there is a sense at the beginning, he says, there is a shortening that has taken place because of who Christ Jesus is. He's put into play a time clock that God the Father established in eternity past that has an end to it. We don't know when the end is, but we do know that we need to be walking in a particular way. There's a beginning and there is an end. Next week, all of our college students will be gathering back, and we're excited about that. When they go to their classes, the first thing that will happen is their college professor will hand out a syllabus. Why does he hand out a syllabus? Because he wants them to understand that there are time constraints. The class begins now, and it will end on this day. In between, you need to do this and do this and do this and do this. So you need to have a perspective towards the end, not a perspective about maybe just this day or the next day or the next day. So a person looks at that and says, well, I got lots of time, so I'll just kind of wait. And the average college students, what do? They wait until the last 48 hours. They get it all done. They show up here looking like walking zombies. And basically, they've wasted a great deal of time. What he's saying here to us here is simply at the beginning of the statement that he's going to add these statements that he throws in, he's going to say, Please remember, first of all, that the reason why we should have an eternal perspective is because time is short. Because time is short. Here's the second thing he says. Now look at 31 and look at the second portion of verse 31. He says also, not only do you need to realize that the time has been shortened, he says, but you need to know that the form of this world is passing away. The form of this world is passing away. The word for form simply is the Greek word schema. We all know that, right? Scheme. And it's used a lot in football, but what's the scheme? What's the plan? What is it that you're going to do? What's the plan? And he says, whatever the schemas of this world are, whatever the plans of this world, he says, they're all going to go away. And we kind of, just an illustration in the technological world is how much the scheme changes just in a few short words, time, because of where we live in this technological age. For instance, I grew up with 45 discs and 78s and 33s. And a lot of you are kind of going, records, okay? Vinyl records. But I graduated. The schema changed, and I graduated to the 8-track. How many of you remember an 8-track? Oh, God bless you. Man, I had my cool little Firebird, and I had my little 8-tracks with a Maha Vishnu light orchestra and all that sort of stuff. Wooed my wife with that 8-track, all right? That schema has changed. And that schema went from there to what? Cassettes. How many of you have a cassette player in your car? In your car, really? You're old. Does it still work? Amazing. The schema has changed. Now they're gone. In comes what after that? CDs. And DVDs and every other D that you can imagine. Are those passing? They are kind of passing, aren't they? Seen a Blockbuster lately? They're all gone. How come they're all gone? Because the schema has changed. And what once was very valuable at one point in time is no longer valuable in the least, isn't it? That's the schema. So if on those little things where we see the form of this world is passing away, the forms of this world are passing away, the little things are passing away, imagine just on what a level it means when Paul says the schema of this whole world is passing away. All the things that we put all our value on, our paid off house, our nice car, you name it, all those things that we've spent lots of time and attention and energy and retirement and thinking about all those sort of things, he says, in the scheme of things, in the scheme of eternal things, it's just this little teeny speck of time. And you're spending major time on minor stuff. Now we're going to see as we look through this, he's not going to tell us not to work hard and not to have possessions. He's not going to tell us not to have a wife. He's you're going to have to wait for next week for that. But he's saying, put it in perspective. This year, I want us to think really hard about our decisions that we're making, and are they being made with an eternal perspective? I mean, look at this past week. Look at all the decisions you made and all the things you did. Were any of them made with an eternal perspective? Or was it just I mashed into this world system that I got to make a paycheck and I got to be here at this time and I got to pick up that and I got to do that and I got to get this done and I got to do those sort of things and I got these things on my list and they're all good. There's nothing bad. They're not sinful. But how often are we saying to ourselves, am I living my life with an eternal perspective? Am I living as if this day matters a great deal? Because it's a day that God has given me to show people what it means to live with an eternal frame of reference. I think it's missing in my life. I don't know if it is in yours or not. But I need to be more inclined towards, don't waste it. Don't waste the moment. Because this schema that we're in right now, good as it is, and I'm grateful for it, it's all passing. And if it's not for the purpose of bringing in something that glorifies God, I'm wasting my breath. So, next week what we will do is Paul will answer the second question of, well, how can I have an eternal perspective? And he's going to show us five ways that we can have an eternal perspective. We need to have an eternal perspective in our marriages, and we need to have an eternal perspective in our grieving, and we need to have an eternal perspective in our rejoicing, and we need to have an eternal perspective in our possessions, and finally, an eternal perspective in our world view. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask you this week to just, as you go through your week, ask yourself the question, how many decisions am I making this week that are being made from an eternal perspective? Maybe shocking that we're so much conformed and formed to this world. We haven't quite figured out what it means to be conformed to that world. Hopefully that's enough to think about. Amen. Lord, guide us as we think about these really introductory thoughts this week, and please minister to us as only your Spirit can do, to bring us to a point of being drawn up short by how little so many of our decisions are guided and directed by an eternal perspective. And just as we grapple that with this week, bring us back next week ready to hear what you have to say about what it means to have an eternal perspective in our marriages and in our grieving and in our rejoicing, in our possessions, and in the totality of our worldview. Dismiss us, we pray, by thy grace for your glory, to go out and live for you in ways that shine the light of eternity for people to see. We ask that in precious name of Jesus, and God's people said, amen. Can I ask for just a little bit of help before you leave today? We have a crew of people who are taking down Christmas trees and all that sort of stuff, and that's kind of special work. We have special gifts for that. But we need, if I could get 20 people for 30 minutes, 20 people for 30 minutes, you would make the task for the rest of us who will be here for the next 2 hours. You could knock our task in half. 20 people, 30 minutes. I promise, not a moment longer than that. And if you're willing to do that, step down the aisle right now. No. it's my Baptist roots stick. and then we could save. We had 30 people come forward today. You know, no. But if you're able to do that, just come up and see me really quickly, and I'll give you some very simple chores that we need to accomplish, and you'll be out of here by 12:30 on the dot. Thanks for being here. Happy New Year. Have a wonderful day.